Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, darn it. I thought I was all caught up in my show prep. Oh, there's like a million things I didn't do in my show prep here. Ah, the show just starts too quickly, too early here, but that's all right. I'll try to take advantage of the breaks to get to more show prep here. I got way too much show prep already as it is anyway, but I got distracted. I was going to snag some of the Fox News Radio stories, for potential use throughout the rest of the morning, and then I checked on the Montana Politics hashtag on Twitter, and I see some old friends. We're starting to hear from some old friends again here. You know, it's kind of funny. We heard from our old friend Ken in Great Falls, our far-left caller out of Great Falls. We hadn't heard from him since election day, or, you know, maybe a couple of days before that. And he called in finally, and people were like, wow, man, we were wondering. We were a little worried about Ken in Great Falls because ever since Donald J. Trump and Tim Sheehy won their big elections, man, hadn't heard squat from him. But even some of our friends on the conservative side, you know, they've been hunkered down, busy getting back to work as well. But I just saw a couple of great tweets from Brock Lawrence and Eric Iverson. I think Eric's still based out of Missoula. Brock, you know, a Helena, Montana kid, but he's probably back in the Washington, D.C. area. But I saw both of those guys, not only on election night at the big victory party for Tim Sheehy, but I saw them both the next morning. I think they both dropped by and saw us at the Rock and R for our live show the morning after Election Day as well. But where do we start? Let's go to Eric Iverson first here. So I told you, earlier this week how John Tester has a new gig, and he's now a contributor for MS-13 NBC. So we talked about that earlier in the week. Eric Iverson says this, thank you, and he's a prominent pollster, by the way. He works with our good friend Evan Wilson, so what a great team they are. But thank you, MSNBC, he writes, and please give him his own show. The more John Tester analysis, the better. During Tester's three terms of extreme left-wing politics, Montana Democrats went from controlling 8 of 9 statewide offices to controlling 0 today. So please give him more airtime. Please give him his own show on MS-13. MSNBC is basically the point there by Eric Iverson. That was a great one. And then Brock Lawrence, he's got a great one as well. Brock Lawrence, political consultant. I don't know what his exact title is, but basically just one smart guy. You know, I remember him from his Carroll College days back in the day. But, man, I tell you what, he's worked in the White House. He's worked in countless campaigns and other endeavors. But this Jason Pitt guy, does he worked for Steve Bullock, then he worked for the Montana Democrat Party. Does he even still have a job with the Montana Democrat Party? Does the Montana Democrat Party even still have a building to operate out of in Helena? I know the Billings Gazette's losing their building. We got an update on that front. Yeah, they've had to lay off more staff. They're selling their building. I can tell you what the building will who the building will now be owned by. You can take that one to the bank, Stockman Bank in particular. But we'll get to that story next.
Securing America.
Authorities from multiple federal agencies announced the details of a record-setting drug bust Tuesday. The bust, which took place in early December, netted 1,500 kilograms of fentanyl, the largest on record. U.S. Attorney for Southern California, Adam Gordon.
That's more than 1.65 tons of fentanyl.
As a result, 7 members of the Sinaloa cartel were charged not just with drug crimes, but as members of what the Trump administration has designated as a foreign terrorist organization. That includes a father and son who led this particular faction of the cartel. Homeland Security Special Agent in Charge, Sean Gibson.
They threaten our national security. With this new approach, we now have another powerful tool to help tear down the cartel's infrastructures.
Gordon also adding this warning.
To the leaders of the Sinaloa cartel, you are no longer the hunters. You are the hunted.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some rain showers around the area times today, highs will range from the lower to middle 50s. And still seeing some scattered showers tonight. Temperatures will drop back off into the upper 30s, around 40 in Bozeman, to the mid-40s in Billings. Still seeing a chance for some scattered showers on Thursday with highs in the 50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, this is admittedly kind of some inside baseball stuff, but what the heck, it just caught my eye. Let's roll into it here. Yeah, so the Democrat Party in Montana is an absolute train wreck. But then again, hey, especially with all the infighting with the Republicans in the state legislature, I think that the Democrats are hopeful that they could see some pickup opportunities. Maybe a little too hopeful, but nonetheless, it should be a warning to Republicans. After all of that infighting, and especially when you've got a handful undermining their own caucus leadership, and then when you have others trying to undermine the top elected Republican in the state as well. But anyway, so this Jason Pitt guy, I don't even know if does he still have a job? What's he doing now? He came from, like, I think he worked for some Democrat back in Connecticut, and then, you know, that far left, gun control activist Steve Bullock brought him in for his campaign. And then, of course, Bullock just failed miserably in that Senate race in 2020, losing to Steve Daines by, what was it, like 10 points, something like that. Wow. And so, Bullock and Tester basically destroyed the Democrat Party in Montana. Which is kind of funny when you think about it, because Brian Schweitzer, some of you may not know who that is because it's been a while now, but he really saved the Democrat Party from the death spiral they were in the early 2000s. And you know, the GOP swept most of the major races in the year 2000, and then, you know, Schweitzer comes in, and Schweitzer really, he did more to help get John Tester elected than probably John Tester did. But John Tester went to the swamp and started teaming up with Max Baucus, his sidekick, you know, the sidekick who sold us out to the communist Chinese, and then the unraveling of and then Baucus and Tester, they got a little jealous of Schweitzer, so they started throwing shade on him, and the Democrat Party started unraveling, and then, you know, Bullock put the nail in the coffin finally with his response to COVID-19. Anyway, too much backstory for you. Little Montana history there from the old guy here. So this Jason Pitt guy, who I don't even think is the comms director for the Montana Democrat Party anymore because they probably can't afford to hire staff, he takes a shot at the communications director for Senator, say it with me again now, Pitt, Senator Tim Sheehy. And so basically what it looks like here is that you've got this outdoors guy, the outdoors reporter for the Billings Gazette, and he does some good, interesting reporting on outdoor stuff, but you can tell he is just dripping with Democrat Party activism, just foaming at the mouth with the environmental spin on things, right? I mean, you know, the outdoor guy for the Billings Gazette is the guy who's constantly slobbering over the American Prairie Reserve and propping up this outfit that wants to kick Montana ranchers to the curb. And so anyway, so the Democrats, they are besides themselves. They keep banging this drum, public lands in public hands. And so they are beside themselves because you guys heard Randy Newberg, who's a big advocate for public lands and public hands. Randy Newberg was on this show, and he was praising the Montana congressional delegation. And he's never afraid to criticize Republicans on public lands issues. He was praising Congressman Zinke, praising Senator Sheehy, praising Senator Daines, praising the whole delegation, Congressman Downing, for their efforts to protect public lands. and yet, the Billings Gazette outdoor reporter is still so desperate to try to attack them. So the spokesperson for Senator Sheehy says, your job as a journalist is to report facts, not to lobby Congress. But since you are clearly an activist who won't take yes for an answer, we would be interested in hearing your thoughts on what additional action you think the senator should take. Freaking hysterical. Great job by Senator Sheehy's team by calling out this BS bias from the environmental report. Stop calling them the outdoors report. It's the environmentalist wackos report with all of the bias here. Somebody called him out, though. Let's see. So then this Pitt guy, he takes a shot at the communications director for Senator Sheehy, and that's where Brock Lowrance jumps in, our good friend Brock Lowrance, who's a really smart guy. He says, oh, to be an underemployed Montana Democrat operative who can't be a spokesman for a Montana Democrat elected official anymore because they don't exist since, you know, losing election after election. After election. So that was anyway, so it's good to see some old friends. Eric Iverson, Brock Lowrance there on X on the Montana Politics hashtag. Hadn't heard from them in a little while here, but I know they've been busy. And anyway, does it just seem it's been fun this week? We've been getting a lot of great phone calls on the show, a lot of big topics to talk about. But I think everybody's kind of coming out of hibernation. You know, everybody was, I think a lot of people were, you know, unfortunately, I think they were taking things for granted. I think they were getting a little complacent. I think a lot of people were thinking, Donald Trump's president, he's got it all covered, he's got it all taken care of, and people were just kind of kicking back. Look, folks, now is not the time to kick back. Now is not the time to get complacent. That's all I'll say on that front. But because you got to get out there and support what the president is doing. You can't just let him fight this battle all on his own, even though he does a great job of one man against everybody. He's like Butte versus...
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Only a few years ago, economics professors sounded like relics when they delivered lectures to their young students on inflation. Inflation, isn't that all over? Of course, we learned in 2021 that it wasn't, and that its long dormancy during our young students' lives was no guarantee of its continued absence. The recent announcement by the Federal Reserve Bank that it saw inflation risks rising, even as the Bureau of Economic Analysis reported negative growth in the national economy, brings to mind another once-slain dragon that roamed the economy decades ago, stagflation. It's another child of the 70s era, when the hangover of huge government spending on Great Society programs in the Vietnam War hit an economy racked by Arab oil embargoes and soaring energy costs. The result was a prolonged economic funk that gave us high inflation and high unemployment at the same time, which the economic orthodoxy at the time thought impossible. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Forget what's in or out of President Trump's big, beautiful bill. Medicare and Medicaid cuts, tax shelters. Here's the real thing that people who work on Capitol Hill are worried about. Changing in dining options on the House side of the Capitol. Panera Bread is taking over for Obon Pan in the Cannon House office building. In the Rayburn House office building, Subway is out, but Jimmy John's is in. CHA Street Food, which is a Virginia-based Pakistani restaurant, will take over the spot now operated by Steak and Shake. PX Tacos and Java House, both based in D.C., are also moving in. And America may run on Dunkin', but no longer the House of Representatives. Starbucks is replacing them. Freshens comes in for Jamba Juice. But many complain that the Senate has better dining options. There's a coffee shop which has been around for years called Cups. Even lawmakers are upset. Democratic Massachusetts Representative Lori Trahan posted an image of a Dunkin's coffee cup on X, saying the departure of Dunkin' Donuts broke her heart. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Break Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund. Farmers could see an expanded safety net under a new package released by the House Agriculture Committee on Monday out in Washington, D.C. The bill set for debate this week boosts crop insurance, raises reference prices for major commodities under the price loss coverage program, and increases farm payment limits from $125,000 up to $155,000. The budget reconciliation package laid out by House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson covers major sections of the farm bill, from commodity, nutrition, trade, crop insurance, and research, while leaving out conservation, forestry, and rural development. Livestock producers would also benefit with 100% payments for losses to predators, 75% payments for weather-related losses, and compensation for unborn livestock deaths. But the bill is sparking controversy over deep cuts to nutrition assistance. It trims $290 billion from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance, or SNAP, program over 10 years. It raises the age for work requirements from 54 to 64 for able-bodied adults without dependents and shifts more SNAP costs to states. Supporters say the bill strengthens the ag safety net and brings more accountability to food aid, while critics argue it threatens food security for vulnerable groups like seniors and low-income families. A committee vote is expected soon.
Why do tacos get their own day of the week? Is it because Mondays are so rough? We need a Tuesday filled with beefy tortillas shared with good friends. If so, why don't we have Wellington Wednesdays, Stroganoff Saturdays, and heck, Meatball Mondays? Then, Mondays would just be another reason to enjoy our favorite beef with our favorite people. Together, we bring more. Beef. It's what's for dinner. Funded by beef farmers and ranchers.
Calling all ranchers, settle up for the 406 Grazing Academy, June 3rd through the 5th in Havre. It's not your average workshop. It's 3 full days of boots-on-the-ground learning designed to simplify grazing management. From pasture walks and grazing demos to campfire chats and classroom know-how, you'll walk away with the tools to boost your land and livestock. Thanks to WSAR, it's just $150, meals and materials included. Spots are limited, so register by May 15th at mtdnrc.formstack.com. Use code DNRC at Havre Inn & Suites.
Well, it's great to be back at the anchor desk after spending nearly 2 weeks down under attending the World Angus Forum. While I was there, I was interested in learning more about their feedlots and the rations that they're feeding cattle in Australia. I was able to catch up with a producer, Mr. Stuart Judd from Queensland, and he shares more on why Australia does not grow as much corn as we do here in the U.S. to feed cattle.
Corn is where everybody would like to be, but Australia's a bloody harsh environment, and we're in the lap of the gods as far as weather goes. The silage rations tend to be a lot more of a grain sorghum, forage sorghum cross. It's a lot more forgiving and drought tolerant. The cost of growing corn now is extremely expensive here. Fall armyworm has really given us a lot of grief. We don't have GM modified crops. We don't have GM corn. So,
and that's a government regulation.
That's a government regulation. So that's really, I will only plant enough corn this year that I know we will silage.
Yep.
I won't. I love growing corn. Absolutely love growing corn. But I've worn down to growing that dirty, itchy sorghum.
So when comparing grain-fed beef in Australia versus the United States, there's definitely a noticeable difference that corn, in my opinion, does a much better job. And thank goodness Australia can't grow GM corn, because they could probably give us a run for our money in finishing corn-fed beef if they were allowed to grow GM corn. For all of my conversations had down under, visit us at westernagnetwork.com. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana talks.
Senior staff join us here on the show from time to time. Oh, this is a good one. 9 times Jake Tapper dismissed Biden's declined, claimed that he is sharp mentally. I saw something on X yesterday. This wasn't even the story I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about a farm and ranch story since we just wrapped up the farm and ranch report. Let me scroll down on my feed here. Here it is, 14 hours ago. So Jake Tapper from CNN, oh, Tapperoo, he wrote a piece for the New Yorker. How Joe Biden handed the presidency to Donald Trump. See, liberal reporters and Democrats like Jake Tapper are outraged that Joe Biden, they believe, is apparently responsible for Donald Trump being once again, say it with me now, president of the United States. At a fateful event last spring, Barack Obama, George Clooney, and others were stunned by Biden's weakness and confusion. Why did he and his advisors decide to conceal his condition from the public and campaign for re-election? It wasn't concealed. We all saw it, Jake. So did you. And so anyway, yesterday, you know, everybody was talking about how Jake Tapper was using the L word and calling the Biden administration liars. He called them liars. And then other people were like, Jake, you lied too. But anyway, my big picture response was this, was how Joe Biden handed the presidency to Donald Trump. It reminds me of that FJB sticker I saw on a pickup out in front of the gym last week. We should thank Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden, for handing the presidency to Donald Trump. Thank you, Joe Biden, for exposing the failure of the liberal ideology. And hopefully now Americans are on track to celebrate another 250 years of our country after next year's 250th birthday. To be the free republic this country is supposed to be. But anyway, I sent out a tweet about 14 hours ago. So, you know, if Joe Biden is responsible for handing the presidency to Donald Trump because of the way they lied about his cognitive decline, well, CNN lied about his cognitive decline every step of the way, too. So CNN handed the presidency to Donald Trump, too. So thanks, Joe. Thanks, Jake. Greatly appreciated. Jake Tapper story right now, 9 times that Jake Tapper lied about Joe Biden's decline. I mean, he was fighting with his guests. He was if he had a guest on his show that was pointing out the obvious cognitive issues with Joe Biden, I mean, he went all Chuck Todd on these people. You know, with this uppity elitist, I'm not going to allow you to say that. But this was the Federalist story that caught my eye here, especially following on the heels of the Farm and Ranch report there. Lawmakers call on the USDA to end Biden-era discriminatory policies against white farmers. MD Kittle has this story here. Yeah, you guys remember this. Remember when the Biden administration was discriminating against white farmers? Now, if you were Ole Canole in Northeast Montana, you wouldn't get your farm loan forgiven. But if Ole Canole, holy moly, finally decided to start identifying as Jose, hey, you get your farm loan forgiven. You could be a wealthy Hispanic farmer in California, of which there are many, and get your farm loan forgiven. You could be a poor farmer in Northeast Montana. No farm loan forgiveness for you. No farm loan forgiveness for you. Wisconsin's Republican House delegation is calling for an end to Biden-era programs at the U.S. Department of Agriculture that discriminate against white male farmers. The holdover initiatives that, among other things, offer better loan terms to so-called socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. I know some white farmers in Northeast Montana that are socially disadvantaged. They're not the most social guys, good people. But, you know, they're not the most social. That's why they like to work out in the middle of nowhere. They, They don't want to be stuck in a city with a bunch of people. You might call that socially disadvantaged, but nope, you don't get a deal out of that. What they mean by socially disadvantaged is anybody who's not white. My goodness. In a letter exclusively provided to the Federalist, the lawmakers urge Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins to investigate the case of Adam Faust. He's a disabled Wisconsin dairy farmer who has been subjected to protected class-based discrimination by the USDA, ineligible for certain USDA programs because he is white and a man. So there you go. Yeah, there's so much work that President Trump and his team have done already, but this story is another example of just, man, so much work that they've got to continue to do on a day-to-day basis, not just the positive agenda that they're enacting, but unraveling the train wreck agenda of the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. By the way, speaking of the USDA discriminating against white farmers, remember when the Democrats in charge of the Montana Farmers Union and the Democrats in charge of the Montana media and John Tester's campaign claimed, oh, that's not happening. No, there is no discrimination against white farmers. Yeah, they lied. They lied. And they lost anyway, despite all the media covering for the guy.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, see, here's another story I would have missed if I didn't do my full round of show prep. Yeah, partly the reason I missed my full round of show prep this morning was I wanted to get that update on our Montana Talks website about the grizzly near Yankee Jim Canyon that led to the closure of a fishing access site and then likely a campground soon as well. And so, yeah, if all I did was play music all morning, I'd have time to write all these stinking articles. But I wanted to get that update posted quickly there. Here's another one that I would have missed. TheDailyCaller.com has this. Florida men arrested for kidnapping teenagers. Florida men. That's how the media was describing these guys. Florida men arrested for kidnapping teenagers. But wait, there's more to that headline. Florida men arrested for kidnapping teens turns out to be illegal immigrants. Big surprise there, right? Big surprise there. Reminds you of the Maryland man who's actually an El Salvador man, criminal gangbanger thug. All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call here. Speaking of discrimination against white farmers in America, you think that's bad? Well, if you haven't been following what's been going on in South Africa, I mean, they've been murdering white farmers in South Africa with the racist regime in control there. And now all these liberal folks on the left and so many in the left-wing media who were okay with 20 million people coming into this country illegally from all over the third world, now they're outraged that a tiny number of, you know, South Africans might be coming to the United States of America as refugees. Nancy, what's your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, it was a very impressive group of people, 59 people from South Africa. And what a contrast to the third world illiterate scumbags that the Biden administration allowed into our country. These people are going to do extraordinarily very, very well here. And one of the things I noticed is that they had their hand over their left, you know, over their heart with an American flag. They are really, really very, very impressive. And I have a feeling that more are coming. I wish it would have been 5,900 people instead of 59. And I'll tell you, President Trump knows how to rub salt in a wound. He's giving it right back to the, you know, the liberals for that invasion of the 21 million or God knows how many. And we still don't know really accurately accurate numbers. But so I'm very impressed. And I know it's true. I have a friend that's been big game hunting in South Africa twice on a 75,000-acre ranch. And his own family, his parents were actually murdered in bed by natives with a machete. My friends were not allowed off of the wildlife reserve because it's just too dangerous. Africa, you know, I think it's, what, 54 countries make up that continent. It's an extremely dangerous place.
Depending on where you're at. Yeah. Well, and it's massive too. Logistically, spending time in East Africa myself, in particular, it was interesting because it's like, okay, just to fly from east to west across Africa, you know, in that larger stretch. I mean, if I remember right, isn't it something that like three times the size of the United States? When you think about flying coast to coast from the east coast to the west coast of the United States, I think if you go from the east coast of Africa to the west coast of Africa, you know, in the biggest stretch there, it's three times the size of the United States from a landmass perspective. So yeah, no, well, great to get your take on that. Yeah, Scott Jennings, you know what? Let me see. I didn't grab that audio soundbite because man, we've already grabbed so much. But Scott Jennings, the great Scott Jennings, he's the Republican who goes on CNN and has to put up with all these people on CNN and their nonsense. But he called out all of these folks on the left who are now all of a sudden they're clutching their pearls. Can't have any of these refugees come into the United States of America. Let me play it for you here. Yeah, Scott Jennings. In fact, by the way, we may have Scott Jennings join us right here on Montana Talks very soon. Maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow, maybe in the week ahead. We'll see.
I mean, I do think it's not alleged discrimination that these people are facing in South Africa. I mean, the law there absolutely allows their property to be confiscated. They are subject to racial discrimination. Some have been subject to violence from some reports that I have read. We're talking about 50-something people, and the people who seem to be angriest about this today had no problem with 20 million coming here. Some of the worst people in the world coming here, including gang members and so on and so forth. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for the folks who are outraged today after what happened to this country over the last several years, over 50-something people who are clearly being discriminated against in South Africa.
Yeah, there you go. Great great point there by Scott Jennings. And you could just see just the uppity elitist looking down at Scott looks on the faces of all the liberals on that CNN panel. But just speaking common sense. And by the way, President Trump hasn't blocked all refugees from coming into this country. He's blocked most of the refugees coming into this country because of the abuse that the Biden administration destroyed the refugee and asylee program here in America. You know, we talked with John Fabricatori, who was the ICE field director, state director for Colorado and Wyoming, and he'd tell you that. He says, look, the way you think of the refugee program, the way you think of the asylee programs going back several decades here in America, you have to throw that concept in the trash can, because that's what Joe Biden did. They threw that whole concept in the trash can. And so you've got people who are thinking, you know, the people that are ultra sympathetic to the refugee cause are still thinking they're still trapped in their idea of what the system is from 20, 30, 40 plus years ago. They have no idea the damage and the destruction that the Democrats caused to that program, to where you're not really vetting. You don't even know who the hell these people are. And Joe Biden was just handing out like Oprah would hand out. You get a car, you get a refugee sticker, you get a refugee sticker. But even still, Trump didn't shut down the entire refugee program. But these Democrats are clutching their pearls because a small number of refugees are being allowed into this country when they sat there and cheered on Joe Biden's invasion of 20 plus likely a million illegal aliens. All right, let's see. I wanted to talk inflation. There is so much to talk about here this morning. Let's talk about the inflation numbers that came in yesterday. These numbers came in while we were live on the air. And basically, not only did the inflation numbers lower, they came in lower than expected yesterday. Well, how did that happen? I mean, the daily tariff war fear porn that we were getting even in the local media here in Montana was telling us how awful everything, how prices were going to skyrocket because of Donald Trump's tariff war to get America first once again. How did prices go down? Let me see here. I've got a lot to share on that front here. Let's start with President Donald J. Trump himself. I wonder if he sent this tweet from Saudi Arabia, because he's been on a whirlwind tour with the Gulf states this week, of course. President Trump said this on True Social, no inflation, and the prices of gasoline, energy, groceries, and practically everything else are down. The Fed must lower the rate. Talking about interest rates, of course. The Fed must lower the rate like Europe and China have done. What is wrong with too late Powell? Not fair to America, which is ready to blossom. Just let it all happen. It will be a beautiful thing. Yeah, it sure seems like the Federal Reserve is trying to stand in the way of the Trump economic bump. They're trying to, let's just keep those interest rates high. Yeah, we don't want to do anything to help Donald J. Trump. Absolute joke. Politico had this headline. Trump tariffs have little impact on prices so far, defying grim forecasts. Jack Posobiec said this. So many panickins look like idiots right now. Oh, there is more where that came from as well here. But yeah, that's the big picture here, is that the panickins in the media, and even some panickin Republicans, not too many of them anymore, thankfully, these days, they all were telling you, oh, prices are going to go up. It's going to be awful. And inflation was even lower than expected. The numbers went down, and they went down by even more than the so-called experts expected. What about beef? What about the beef here in Montana? I saw Congressman Troy Downing was on on Fox Business here recently, talking about beef producers in particular, and how President Trump's trade deals are going to be good for beef.
Expanding this market for my beef producers is a game changer. I'm really excited about this opportunity. And it really shows you everything that the White House has been saying, everything that President Trump has been saying about getting our allies, our trading partners to the table to actually work out fair deals that are good for the United States of America. You know, that's what he set out to do. That's exactly what's happening. And I got to tell you, for my district, for Montana, we're really excited about this. And not just on the agricultural side, but having a friendly partner on the steel and aluminum side, I think that's a game changer in terms of national security as well as markets. So we're pretty excited about it. So I'm happy to be in London as this is happening.
All right. Back after this, I think we've got a guest joining us. Yeah, we do. Right after this. Stand by.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
DHS says arrests on the table for any Democrat who stormed the New Jersey ICE facility. ICE arrested over 400 Biden illegals in Houston. Of those arrested, 262 had criminal convictions. I mean, what is wrong with Joe Comp? They have blood on their hands. But this big thing in Newark is a big deal. And the best part that I read is any state, any municipality, any city that is aiding and abetting in helping illegals is going to be arrested. And by the way, Kristi Noem said that subpoenas for California for possible cash benefits to illegals is going out. Guess what? That would be stealing your money.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, don't get suckered into the same old free phone game by Big Wireless. That comes with a lot of fine print, plus, 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 plus. Oh, in other words, you pay more, more, more. At the end of the day, you paid for that, quote, free phone three times over. There is a better way. Pure Talk, my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, my sponsor, my wireless company, has a much better offer. A free phone with a qualifying plan for just $35 a month, and you get a brand-new Samsung Galaxy A26. Just make the switch to Pure Talk for $35 a month. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot and roaming, all on America's most dependable 5G network. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will help you make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. Again, #250, keyword save now. Get your free Samsung Galaxy with a qualifying plan when you switch to Pure Talk. Wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some rain showers around the area at times today, highs will range from the lower to middle 50s. And still seeing some scattered showers tonight. Temperatures will drop back off into the upper 30s, around 40 in Bozeman, to the mid-40s in Billings. Still seeing a chance for some scattered showers on Thursday with highs in the 50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Yeah, one of our radio listeners told us there was a big grizzly spotted near Yankee Jim Canyon. Now we've got some close-up photos at MontanaTalks.com. Speaking of grizzlies, the Montana Farm Bureau says you have got to speak out. You have got to weigh in by Friday's deadline and speak out in support of delisting the grizzly from the endangered species list. Yeah, there's a Friday deadline. Photos of the grizz, a link to how you can speak up and more, go to MontanaTalks.com.
Oh, hey. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I got a great note the other day from Ken Weinheimer. Ken Weinheimer, great guy, lives in the Bitterroot Valley south of Missoula. He's a helicopter pilot, law enforcement veteran, military veteran, but he's got Tatanka cigars, and Tatanka is, it's one of my favorite cigars. Ken owns Rocky Mountain Liquor in Helena, based out of Helena. He's also got the Capital Club Cigar Lounge in Helena. And he wanted to build the perfect cigar, and that's how he crafted the Tatanka cigar. And I'll tell you what, I absolutely love that cigar. But he sent me a note. He said, hey, Aaron, are you going to this event in Billings on Thursday night? And I definitely want to try to be there. Yeah, because it's a big fundraiser for the Scouts. They've had, apparently for a number of years now, they've had this fundraiser for the Boy Scouts of America, and it's basically a cigar whiskey event, and it's going to be at the Swift River Ranch. But I've been wanting to go for a number of years. There's a great gal in Billings. She does acupuncture treatments for veterans. Oftentimes she'll go set up down at the Adaptive Performance Center gym and do acupuncture treatments for veterans. And I'm a big fan of acupuncture, you know, if you're in the member of the Bad Back Club, et cetera. But, yeah, her and her husband have been a big part of the Boy Scouts over the years and helping out to develop young men. And so, but, yeah, she was telling me about this event, and I was like, oh, man, that sounds great. But, yeah, that event is coming up on Thursday. So if any of you are trying to go, I don't even think you need to really buy a ticket. I think what they're really hoping for is that people will just be generous in their giving and in their donations instead of charging you a set ticket price. They really just want people to come and just give a generous donation. And apparently there's some really good stogies and some really good beverages at the event as well. Okay, I thought we were going to have a guest on to talk a little bit more about that, but that's all right. I gave you the update right there. So we'll just drive on. Okay, let's see. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we're going to have the phone lines open for you. And then, let's see, 8 o'clock hour. Oh, yeah, we've got Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer is going to join us later on in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. So we've been talking this week about the illegal aliens in the Gallatin Valley. And, of course, Sheriff Dan Springer has been doing a great job in the face of you know, being undermined by the Gallatin County Commissioners and by the Gallatin County Attorney. Dan Springer and his sheriff deputies, like all law enforcement there in the Gallatin Valley, have just had a whole lot of crazy work on their hands because of this invasion of illegal aliens on top of, you know, the population increase on top of that. And so, they've been busy. They've had a lot of work on their hands. But it's going to be great to hear from Sheriff Dan Springer about all the efforts to crack down on these illegal aliens and to work with ICE and work with federal law enforcement. Speaking of that, so on Monday we had Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown on the show. And, he did not want to answer any questions head on. He wanted to make it sound like they were working with ICE, even though the Gallatin County Commissioners are not working with ICE. They're actually standing in the way of ICE, and they're not helping their people in the midst of this crime problem. Michael in Bozeman sent me a reply. He reached out to the Gallatin County Commissioners, and he got a response back from Gallatin County Commissioner Jennifer Boyer. And he said this. He says, I got this reply from Jennifer Boyer of the Gallatin County Commission. As far as I see it, this is a completely dishonest deflection of my question. We need to vote her out. Can county commissioners be recalled? Do you think we could get traction? That's from Michael and Bozeman. But yeah, the response he got back from Commissioner Boyer was, thank you for sharing your perspective on this important issue. We continue to cooperate with ICE holds when there are criminal arrests. When there are criminal arrests. Here's the deal. Every single one of those illegal aliens you are providing cover for are criminals. They broke the law, and you are providing cover for them. Oh, you're waiting till they commit some serious crime, huh?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Only a few years ago, economics professors sounded like relics when they delivered lectures to their young students on inflation. Inflation, isn't that all over? Of course, we learned in 2021 that it wasn't, and that its long dormancy during our young students' lives was no guarantee of its continued absence. The recent announcement by the Federal Reserve Bank that it saw inflation risks rising, even as the Bureau of Economic Analysis reported negative growth in the national economy, brings to mind another once-slain dragon that roamed the economy decades ago, stagflation. It's another child of the 70s era when the hangover of huge government spending on Great Society programs in the Vietnam War hit an economy racked by Arab oil embargoes and soaring energy costs. The result was a prolonged economic funk that gave us high inflation and high unemployment at the same time, which the economic orthodoxy at the time thought impossible. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.